Desiring the Lord's help, we will turn to Psalm 106, verse 4. Verse 4. Remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation. Remember me, O Lord. There are still those that are brought before the Lord with this desire and this petition. And what a needful and exceedingly large petition it is. How much is bound up in this remembrance and this favour, this special, this covenant, unchanging favour that the Lord has unto his people. And what a very great mercy if in your heart and in my heart there are living desires after the Lord, after his blessing, after his salvation. It's not a matter of what we say. We may in words echo a good many prayers. The Lord looketh upon the heart. And I'm sure that if there be in the heart this desire and this prayer, then with that person, it's just like one we read of in the scripture. In whose heart there was some good thing toward the Lord God of Israel. You may at one time, perhaps at present, still be like this, supposing that some good thing in the heart that must mean some righteousness, something of worth in us. Something of ourselves distinguishing us from others. But those are not like that good thing in the heart. The only good thing in the heart of any is what the Lord puts, what the Lord works. For really there's no gainsaying that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And in the old nature, the natural heart, there won't be found good things. Only in that new heart, what's of the new spirit, what's of the Lord's work, what's of his grace. And so much better if there be something of a living desire in the heart than making many prayers in words, professing to have very great and very enlarged desires. If that be only in word, in form, those feeble desires, those wishes so weak, 'tis Jesus inspires and bids you still seek. And if this be the real desire in you, it's as inspired. The Lord put it there. It's the Lord that gives every right desire to his people. There's nothing of grace, nothing right, but what the Lord bestows. Well, it's a great mercy then to be found with this desire. But desires are not things to be rested upon. They're not to be mistaken for the fulfillment, the satisfying of desires. The Lord does give desires, and it's well when there are desires, living desires. But do you not want some answers? Are you content to go on all the while desiring, never receiving? Well, the Lord is sovereign in his time, of course. And there may be long waiting times, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. I was reading, I'm trying to speak in fact recently again, about Hannah. And she had a very sad pathway for a long while. She was grieved, she was vexed. Nothing seemed to comfort her. Not the kindness of her husband, even. But she was found in the fulfillment of this petition. The Lord remembered Hannah. When that was so, there followed in a little while the gift of the son that she so much desired. Her case was dealt with by the Lord. Remember me. But this remembrance of the Lord, now we do need the Lord to make manifest to us. Now, though we do have unbelieving hearts, I hope sometimes we're really brought to an acknowledgement of truths, and the truth, the plain truth of Scripture, is that the Lord always has remembrance of his people. Yea, they may forget. That is, the tender woman may forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb. Yea, they may forget, but the Lord will not forget his people. Well, that's an unchanging remembrance. They're ever before him, ever in his heart, ever in his purposes. For there are no changes with him. We may think there are, but those changes are in us. His dealings are various, but there are no changes with him. And as we sing, he is the same to endless years. Though clouds and darkness hide his face, is boundless, both in truth and grace. This remembrance, it's not like our remembrance. There's something, or somebody perhaps, out of our minds for ever such a long time, till by some means we come to have remembrance again. This is a continual remembrance with the Lord. What the psalmist is seeking, surely, is rather the manifestation that his realization was something to bring this to his heart and spirit, that the Lord remembers him. And this remembrance the Lord is often pleased to make known when his people are in a particular need or a particularly low place or some trial or some matter that brings them right down. He remembered us in our low estate. And when you're in a low estate, now you that fear the Lord, who will want his remembrance of you to appear, remember me. I referred a moment ago to that truth that the Lord never forgets his people. And now there comes this important difference between what is general, not general with regard to all the world, of course, but to the whole church of God, what's general to his people, and what is particular to you and me individually. There are places and there are exhortations where there's matters to do with the whole church. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. The seeking of the good one of another. Looking not only on our own things. Much cause to pray one for another. But with all that, what if what's personal be left out? It's not left out in this petition of the psalmist. Remember me. Now I put it simply. Have you this need? Have you this desire? Narrow it down, so to speak, to just your own case. Have you the need? Can you not deal with matters yourself? Have you sins and many sins? Much to be ashamed of? Is your case a bad one? Well, if so, the Lord will make his people know that it is like that. Then it will be, remember me. Remember me. And what faith must be given to enable some needy sinner to cry like this unto the Lord? Why, he's given them some sense of his majesty, his holiness, that he is creator and upholder of all things. But all is subject to him. All the vast concerns of time, of men, of nations, yes, of eternity itself, all in and of the Lord and subject to him. And here is some sinful creature of a day, so unworthy, saying, remember me. What condescension with the Lord to remember you or me, to regard us amidst the whole race of mankind, millions of people, all their events, all their times, and for God Almighty to remember you or me. What condescension, what wonder that he should remember us, save in a pouring out of judgment upon us for our sins. But didn't Jesus speak to his disciples of the sparrows? Well, didn't he speak of the hairs of their head being all numbered? He said, you're of more value than many sparrows. We can't comprehend the mystery of this, that God, holy, 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 God from everlasting to everlasting, all things subject to him, should remember this and that, all that poor sinner upon the earth. Yet this is so, we would believe it, and may we be seeking it to be like this in our own cases. Remember me, O Lord. I need hardly dwell on this, that his cry was unto the Lord. Can the creatures help or ease you? You and I may well be thankful for kindness of friends, for loved ones, and many, many temporal mercies. But these soul blessings, these things the sinner needs, they can't do anything for us in respect of those matters. They can't give us grace. Some of us have had gracious parents. They prayed for us. We'll be thankful for that. They couldn't give us grace. If we have grace, it's of the Lord and of his mercy. Remember me, O Lord. And so he permits, you see, some needy sinner to cry unto him. Yes, he will have them cry unto him. That's his will, that his people should seek him. And he gives them many exhortations and many kind encouragements in the scripture. And he's made a way in which they may approach unto him through Christ, the mediator. He says, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee. He says, this mercy seat, this is for sinners to approach. Seek ye my face, the Saviour cries. My soul, where canst thou find supplies but in the Lamb, for sinners slain, who has not shed his blood in vain? Seek ye my face. It's his gracious exhortation. By his Spirit, he enables his people to seek unto him. And what they want is for part and for manifest part in this favour that the Lord bears unto his people. Have you some sense of how greatly these his people are favoured? Happy art thou, O Israel. They're a favoured people. Very often, when making any reference like that, there comes to my mind the dreadful case of Balaam, however. May we and the mercy of the Lord and not be left like him, who was so convinced by the Lord of the blessedness of Israel. The Lord didn't remember him with that favour. It's as if he saw it afar off. Well, the Lord forbid that we should be left like him. But have you some persuasion of how blessed these people are that are the Lord's people? Now, some of us that came from godly homes when we were growing up perhaps thought ourselves very wise or very much up to date. Why, if we didn't say it, in heart we rather despised these people. Remember not the sins of our youth, nor our transgressions. We've cause to come like that before the Lord. But these people are the excellent of the earth. Because they're the Lord's people, it's all bound up with them being his people. It's not what they are in themselves. It's all because they're his. They're his by his eternal choice of them. They're his because he loved them with an everlasting love. Well, they're his, and he gave them unto Christ. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. They were given to Christ as his church, as his bride, as his treasure, but his people. Were people loved eternally. And the favour of the Lord is toward this people. And this favour is unsurpassed. Why? Consider again the many things in the psalm that we read, things that took place, they were events in the affairs of Israel, but also much typical in them. And as you perhaps read it through again afterwards, you will see something perhaps of this favour the Lord had toward them. And yet they were such a rebellious people, and they were dealt with by the Lord because of those rebellions. They were not left just to sin lightly. As they sowed, they reaped in various matters. But still, the Lord saved them for his name's sake. Well, that he might make his mighty power to be known. And he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry. And he remembered for them his covenant and repented according to the multitude of his mercies. This favour then that the Lord bears to his people is everlasting favour. It's his covenant favour toward this people. Well might the apostle, as inspired, speak of what was established upon the better promises, and of a glory that excelled this covenant of God's grace. and in that covenant, settled in it, displayed in it, his favour toward this people. Bright and everlasting love. You may in a low place say, well, I can't feel that to be love in which I have part. And you may have many bitter things to say against yourself. But this favour is everlasting favour. How oft did Israel prove thy constancy and grace? He remembered his covenant, his favour was toward them. Like it was spoken about to David. There were some blessings that had been Saul's blessings. But those blessings were not of the same sort as this favour the Lord bears to his people. For the Lord's mercy, it wasn't saving mercy. It was in temporal things. That was taken from him. And how solemn. We have many mercies. Oh, are you seeking first after his kingdom, his righteousness, after these mercies, the sure mercies, the covenant mercies, the covenant favour of the Lord? Well, it's in this petition, the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. In this favour there is the redemption of his people. Israel's case again typifies it somewhat. They were in a helpless state. They were under hard bondage. They had no means of deliverance. There was a great power that held them and demanded much of them. And in that state they remained till they were brought out by the Lord. He accomplished it for them. He saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. In this favour, the Lord saves his people for his name's sake. He saves them. He saves them from sin, from self, and from hell. It's a full redemption, a full salvation in the favour the Lord has unto his people. His honour is bound up in this salvation. It's for his name's sake. And he surely makes his mighty power to be known in it. For just as Israel could by no means bring themselves out from Egypt, redeem themselves from under that bondage, no more can you nor I do what's needful for ourselves. How full this favour is, determined, and the salvation of the soul settled in it, and the work done, all the work done. Well, I mean, of course, what Christ must do, that Christ only could do, that Christ was appointed to do, of which he was sent in the fullness of time by the Father to redeem them that were under the law, held by it. all bondage, no deliverance, no escape from it. But redeemed. Well, they were redeemed from being under the law. And this in the singular, immense favour of the Lord to them. Scripture expands on it, doesn't it? And this was manifest and making known. And this was manifest the love of God toward us. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Wonderful favour that Christ should die for sinners. Wonderful favour if he died for us. No, he died for his people. He redeemed them by his own blood. Lord, you say, remember me, O Lord, with this favour. Give me to read my pardon sealed. Are your desires at one with the hymn writer whose lines you were singing just now? The redemption of the sinner by Jesus Christ. Remember me, Lord. Grant me part. Grant me felt part, revealed part in this redemption by blood. This favour unto thy people. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. How exceedingly large this favour. What blessings, all needful blessings bound up in it. These people, and this may perhaps try some of you that don't feel to have it, where they have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. They have peace with God. Now, only his people are like that. None others, none others ever be at peace with God. Exceedingly solemn, if any such suppose to be in peace and to be that false peace that they lean on. Will they be like that one building the house upon the sand? But his people, yes, they have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Peace by his cross has Jesus made the church's everlasting head. As you feel your own spirit, as you feel something of what God is, that he does not make allowance for sin, as it's hateful to him, but sinners cannot stand before him. As you feel something of the depth and the multitude of your sins, wonder how it will be with you. And maybe so troubled, yes, and perhaps much persuaded by the enemy that there can't be peace for you. That the indignation of the Lord burns and will burn against you. But there's peace through Christ. Remember me. This man shall be the peace. These things that you may perhaps feel to be summarized in that often repeated cry of the dying thief. I don't know whether we've any reason to suppose that he'd ever read this psalm, or whether he had or not, makes no difference to this. But his prayer, his felt need, his cry, these things were by the work of the Holy Spirit in his heart. He was a sinner saved by grace. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Oh, there was everything in it, wasn't there? And what a great mercy that the scripture records the answer of Christ to that cry. Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. And I never sought his face in vain. That dying man didn't seek in vain. And whilst it becomes the people of God, as their lives are lengthened out, to seek grace and union with Christ in experience so as to bear fruit to his glory, yet how plain that in the case of that dying thief, his heaven was all of the Saviour's goodness, the Saviour's work. He was not going to be profitable. His life was about to end. He wanted this remembrance. And Christ made it known to him. But his cry wasn't in vain. Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. I mentioned earlier how some of us in earlier days may rather have despised the people of God. And it's no small mercy when the Lord so works that instead of that, there is an esteem of them and an earnest desire to be of them and to partake of their blessings. And I can hardly do other than refer again to Ruth's case. What a great desire she had for these blessings and favours that were the blessings and favours of the Lord's people. And she was distinguished in that from her sister-in-law, who went back to her people and to her gods. Some natural affection for her mother-in-law, but nothing more than that. Well, again, I hope we be not left to just natural affection. There may be a good many amongst the people of God for whom we feel something of affection. Well, let brotherly love continue. Brotherly love continue. Oh, but Ruth wanted something more than that. Oh, she would abide with Naomi indeed. Thy people shall be my people. Thy God, my God. Or Moses' case again, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than all the treasures in Egypt. And whilst these people are so greatly blessed under this favour, sovereign, unchanging, full of mercy, full of grace, full of blessings, yet these people, the Lord's people, they have a particular path to walk in here below. Moses esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than all the treasures in Egypt. And the Lord says to these people, come ye out, be ye separate. touch not the unclean thing. He says they shall have tribulation. They're a poor and afflicted people. But there is a kingdom now that they shall inherit. There are blessings, infinite blessings in Jesus Christ. And maybe something of that divine power that constrained Ruth be working in the hearts of some here that perhaps as yet lack these desires. That they too may seek a part amongst this favoured people and part in the blessings and given grace as Moses was given grace, as the people of God have need to be given grace to touch not the unclean thing, to be separate. But these are blessed. They're blessed on earth with those blessings of which the world knows nothing. And they're eternally blessed, for they shall be with Christ. May this desire be in the hearts. Wonderful thing if the Lord should put in the hearts of each of you, remember me, O Lord, with the favour thou bearest unto thy people. Grant me part amongst thy people. It will be a matter on which you're tried sometimes. I love to meet among them now, before thy the gracious feet to bow, thou vilest of them all. But can I bear the piercing thought, what if my name should be left out when thou for them shalt call? Prevent it by thy grace. That's the same as this petition, really. Prevent it by thy grace. Remember me with the favour thou bearest unto thy people. The Lord forgive anything amiss.
Close by singing hymn number 214. The tune is old 148, number 552. Hymn number 214. Dear Lord, remember me, a sinner, weak and vile, full of impiety and fraught with sin and guile. I cannot hope but in thy blood. Remember me, O Lord, for good. Hymn number 214.
the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.